listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you are on the radio, if you're on the computer, wherever you're at. We greet you and welcome you to our program. Pastor Don and I, we co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have for almost 22 years now. It will be in January. And God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we're honored to be here with you.
Thank you,
it's
Lord.
It's a joy to be here to share the Word of God with you. And you heard the intro and all that we are attempting with God's help to raise the standard in the body of Christ today, because it needs to be so in so many areas, we know.
Amen.
And so we're here to do that, give you the Word of God and nothing else. And we always are teaching out of the King James Version Bible, the Bible we believe that everyone should be in, but that's a choice you have to make. But I made that choice a long time ago, and we're going to get the truth of what God wants us to know through this translation that was given to us over 400 years ago. And so we're honored to be here with you. And like we say, if you can't stay tuned in maybe for the whole program, and you'd like to get a CD or a tape of what we're discussing today, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stewart, Florida, and the zip there is 34995. And we've always talked a lot, we haven't here lately, but we've talked a lot about the book that I wrote. Pastor Donna made all the charts and everything in it about the pictures of the Messiah. That's available to anyone for a love offering of $25 and about $3 for shipping and handling.
Amen.
I'd be glad to get that out to you as well. And it covers all the appointed times that's revealed in Leviticus chapter 23. We also cover Hanukkah and Purim and all that, and there's some incredible truths in knowing the Jewish roots that I've been studying since about 1988. And we put it all in the book, and it's available too if you'd like to have it to find out what you've been robbed of your Jewish roots that so many areas in church today don't want to talk about, because they say, well, you're bringing us back under the law of the Torah. Well, we're not. But the Torah is important, isn't it, Pastor Don? Because it teaches how to walk, teaches us how to walk a holy and righteous life. That's what it was for.
What is the Torah?
That's right.
The Word.
The Word.
God.
The first five books of the Bible. And it teaches us how to walk a holy life. It was never intended to bring salvation. It was just to bring instruction to the people of God how to walk a right life with the Lord. Amen. To please Him. And so we're honored to be here with you. So hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And so we're going to release ourselves in a moment. We already prayed before we came on to share what God would have us to say here with you today. Because we're on this program because we love people. And we truly do want to see the standard raised, right, Pastor Don?
Well, yes, and the Torah, it leads us to righteousness.
Sure does.
Living
always
the right way and loving God.
That's right.
The Bible says to love God. Right. First, you have to love God. How can
That's
you
right.
love people if you don't love God? But, you know, if it leads us to righteousness and loving God, if we choose to go the other way, then it doesn't lead us to salvation. So when it does lead us to knowing God, and knowing God is our salvation, and knowing the truth. So when people choose to destroy the Torah or the law, the Word of God, then what happens? They suffer loss.
That's right.
And we can see in the Old Testament where many times, God actually brought the judgment on the people themselves, even opened up the earth and swallowed up the people because of
their disobedience.
Right. So it teaches us how to love God, and really people need to know how to obey God. And not be, if we don't obey God, you know, then we could be rebellious. And God told them, he called them rebellious, a rebellious generation. And, you know, there's a rebellious generation still living today.
That's right.
That don't want to know anything, don't want to hear about God, don't want to know anything about Jesus.
That's right.
They could care less.
Amen.
But we have to continue to send out the gospel.
Open them up to hear,
speak the truth and love, and hopefully some will hear and will repent.
Amen.
And will return, or teshuva means to return.
That's right.
Return to what? Because we're all created in God's image to what? To have fellowship with him.
That's right.
And if people choose not to have fellowship with God, with the Lord, then, you know, they have fellowship with something else, don't they?
That's right.
And God normally calls those things idols. And just being disobedient. So it teaches us how to follow the instructions of God. And so we have the Holy Ghost, and we're going to go over in the book First Corinthians
here for a little bit.
You know, we have the Holy Ghost, so he's our teacher as well.
That's right.
And so he's going to always lead us only into all truth.
He sure will. And you think about somebody, this word teshuva we talk about, it's a Hebrew word to return. Well, I think about it. Only those that believe can teshuva and come back.
Can return.
But people have to come first of all
and
walk with him. But we have a lot of people in the church today that are basically backslidden. They're not doing the things that God wants them to do. They're not going to church. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They're not studying. They're not doing the things that God would have them do. And so they need to be called back. And that's what the teshuva is all about, is to repent. God, forgive me. And he'll take you back anytime. Amen.
You know, some nations went further, and we can see the example throughout history, went further and further away from the Lord. But it's interesting. You quoted to me this morning, that there are many believers and many fellowships in Israel. So that means they're returning to the Lord. And so when you return to the Lord, you know, God, there's a commanded blessing on
That's
the land
right.
and the place in Israel, Jerusalem. You know, it's very small, very, very small spot in the earth, but it is God's eye is on
it's the apple of his eye.
On
That's
Israel.
Right.
Right. And he tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, they're surrounded by their enemies. I mean, there's millions and millions of people who would like to take every that last little bit of sand, that last little
That's
spot
right.
on the earth. But you know, God's promised those people. He's promised the people that it's going to be theirs forever,
That's
and
right.
it's even going to be greater. But how many congregations did you say?
Well, the last statistic I got said there's at least 150. Messianic congregations in the nation of Israel in some form or other, where they're teaching the things about Jesus Christ, which is good. So it's grown.
So it's grown a lot in the last, 20 years?
Yeah.
It's grown up. I don't know what the percentage is, but it has grown a lot. Well, I want to mention before we get started here that, like Pastor Gene did say, we have a service here in church in Stuart, Florida. So I want to mention it, and I'm going to give you our schedule and everything. We had a fabulous Bible reading marathon, and maybe we'll share a little bit about that as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to say that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Friday night at 7 p.m.
We have our Shabbat.
We have our Shabbat. And on Saturday, we have teaching, and also we have a school of worship. And what is that? That's we have, as if you were at the Bible marathon, you saw the worshipers. There are those who worship in dance and with banners and streamers and different flags, different types of things. And so that we have that every Saturday at 2 o'clock, and then we have Bible school at 4 o'clock. So I just wanted to mention that. I'm going to give our telephone number in case you want to call, or if you'd like to order the commentary Pastor Gene spoke about at the beginning of the program. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And you can also listen to this broadcast. Maybe you're driving down the highway 95 going home from Thanksgiving or with your family, and you happen to be tuned in, and you say, well, who's this? Sounds interesting. I'd like to know more about this ministry. Well, you can also listen to us every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on the internet, WCNO.com. So it would be WCNO.com. And that's just go to Saturday, Raising the Standard, and you'll see it at 12 noon, Pastor Gene Hilton. Amen?
Incredible.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
We're glad to be here with you. So I got thinking about some things this morning and yesterday, even before we had to do our program and all that, and I just thinking about the Bible Marathon, and you know, we talked about that way back, and over the months as we were preparing for that time, and we went through it again this year, and it was a tiring time for me especially. I was really wiped out, but anyway, it was wonderful, and the Word was read again from beginning to end, and so I thought about, you know, a lot of people may not wanted to participate in it because it was something that maybe their church that they go to didn't want to be involved with it, but a lot of the people out of those churches came. But the key thing, it touched me this week in thinking about this with the Bible Marathon, is that this was not a church event, it was the church event. And as Don and I have said much on this program,
the body of Christ.
The body of Christ. I'd just assume our name wouldn't be on it about the church at all. Well, somebody had to coordinate it, and we've done it for 14 years. But the thing is, it's not about us, and it's not about a church, it's about the church. And I think this is one of the most important things in the county here that we have, in our city, is that we do this every year. And it's like an ecumenical thing. It's to bring all the churches together. It doesn't matter whether you're a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist. It doesn't matter. You're part of the body of Christ. And so we should break down all the secular walls and things that we think that we know about our denomination, and we don't want to, you know, mix with anyone else. And years ago, I had a word at our prayer meetings that we have on Thursdays that we should cross-pollinate with one another, like the bees do, you know, and we need to do that and find out what somebody else has on their heart, how do they understand certain things from the Word and all that. Not to bring argumentative things, but just to discuss things and to know that there's other thoughts, and people can understand what someone else believes, and we can honor that. And hopefully they won't be in total error, but they'll do things according to the Word of God. And so I thought it was precious to think about it, that we had a lot of churches represented there. We only had a few pastors come and read, but I thank God for the ones that came. I thank God for those that came and read. There's a few of them that came and read. But the thing is, a lot of those people in these other churches, even though the pastors didn't come, they came out of those churches and wanted to come down there and read. So we had many, many churches represented, didn't we, Pastor Dowd?
Yes, we did.
They came up and read. And so I thought that was
incredible. People were blessed.
They were blessed.
People came back and wanted to read more, and it was really good.
Same thing happened again this year. Certain people got up there and started reading, and they started crying.
Yes.
They just couldn't hold it back. And it's just incredible the things that God can do when we begin to read His holy word. So I thought
it washes the soul.
Sure does.
And you never know when somebody's going to be reading a certain area. You know, God knows exactly what they're going to be reading. And they say, wow, you know, I can't believe I read what I read, because it really touched my heart. And so the Bible, the Word of God, it does. It changes us. And it's like water. Washes us and cleanses us. And it purifies us. And so to be holy people, you know, God says, be holy as I am holy. So we're to seek that. We're to seek to do the right thing, to be right in God's eyes and also in man's eyes. And, when people come together, and that brings the commanded blessing.
Sure
talks
does.
About that in Psalm 133, about the commanded blessing. Mm-hmm. It's like the anointing oil. See, the Word of God is, it's anointed. It's anointed. It's holy. It's pure. And it's God's Word,
Amen.
You know. And so it's that brings that unity and that commanded blessing. And it also brings, you know, that peace. And, you know, it keeps, it strengthens the body of Christ. And it weakens the power of the devil.
Sure does.
It strengthens the body of Christ.
Right.
When we can come together and we can be in fellowship with one another and read the Word of God.
That's right.
And everyone is in agreement. It's marvelous.
All reading now the same Bible, book.
It's pleasing. It's pleasing to the Lord how this happens, and you know, and how just. You know, some people just want to read and continue reading because many times when you start reading, you know, you just don't want to stop And yet they think, well, I don't think I can read for 15 minutes. But 15 minutes comes and goes, and they realize, oh my, you know, it's somebody else's turn, and they have to pass the baton. And, you know, many times it is somebody else's turn.
That's right.
And we have to give over to the other person what it's because it's their time.
You come back and read again another day. Yeah.
It's their time. But even you look at it spiritually.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that we just need to we turn over. Hand the baton. It's like a race, you know. You've run a race before where they hand the baton over. Well, you can't just keep going with it. No, you've got to pass it on to the next person. That's the game plan, and that's what God that makes God. I believe God makes God happy, you know, and makes the devil mad, because here we are in unity and reading. It takes 90 hours to read the entire Bible. I think we did it in 89 hours.
Yeah, we were a little later this year, but that was all right.
Yeah, we usually do it in 87 or 86, but we did it in 1 hour minus 90. And so that's, you know, that's really not that long of a time to think about reading your Bible.
That's right.
And, you know, if you're just reading your Bible now and then, or, you know, you don't find time for it, or the day goes by and you go to bed and you say, oh, I didn't read my Bible. Well, just think about this. If you read your Bible 15 minutes, I'm not talking about studying, but just read it. Just read your Bible.
That's
15
right.
minutes a day. You'll have read your Bible all the way through in 3 months.
That's
now,
right.
That's amazing. 15 minutes a day.
That's right.
90 hours. So that would be, you could read your Bible through. And then if you want to spend a little more time, you know, say you want to do it 30 minutes, well, you're still going to read your Bible through in more than it won't even take you a year to
That's
read your
right.
Bible through.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it in 180 days. Say you did it for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Bible, the Word of God, is going to change us and it's going to saturate us. So the more we get into it, the more saturated we're going to be, and then the more truth we're going to know, and then we're going to be able to walk in the truth.
Amen.
And the Bible says, well, the King James Bible says, the truth will make you free.
Free, that's right. Before we go, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but I want to read something to you out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that Paul told Timothy. And, of course, we all probably know this, but when we read this, it should really touch us and remember, because we read all the scriptures, didn't we? It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
Yes.
And is profitable for, listen to this now, for doctrine, mm-hmm. so important, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the scriptures that Paul talked about here, this hadn't been put in form. He's talking about what? The first covenant, all the things that God talked about over there. Everything that Paul taught came because of what he understood about the Torah and the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And so all scripture was spoken over the microphone, and it should make it profitable for us. And I remember we were reading through Timothy, and we also got into Hebrews and different places, and there's an admonition through all of that about walking a holy life. And a lot of those things should just brought conviction to people if they were in some area that God didn't want them to be in. And so that's the beauty of reading the Word of God, because it will bring conviction to us, and it'll say, wow, I shouldn't be doing this, or I did something I shouldn't have done. So it's important to understand that. So that's what's key. We read all the scriptures again this year. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
And I think also, as you're going there, it's just an expression of love.
That's right.
Love for God, love for His Word,
and
love for the body of Christ.
Right.
That people would lay down their own agendas for you know, like I said on some of the brochures, can you give God 15 minutes?
That's right. If you're,
lay
if
down you're, their right. own agendas for 15 minutes
yeah.
and be part. Because, you know, yeah. when you and the word of the Lord came to me, those that would be part would receive the double blessing this year. Because this
Amen.
Is a year of double.
Sure
double
is.
Blessings, and whatever is going to come is going to come in double. So I want the double good. Amen. I want the good. I want the blessings. And so that's another thing. I think it's just an expression of love.
Try.
Love mm-hmm. for God, love for His Word, and love for the body of Christ. And when people come together like that, they may never even not know anyone, but, you know, many people sit out and listen, and they get to know somebody, and they, you know, it just builds relationships, you know, and other things happen on the ground, you know. Maybe somebody needs prayer, but it's just, and it may be somebody say a little short prayer over you that you've never met before.
That's right.
It's just the love. It's expressing the love of God.
Amen. So good.
Amen.
I might just give one example before we start reading this. There was a lady that came up on the platform there on Saturday, I think it was, and she says, I'm really nervous. I just have never read the Bible out in public or out loud or anything. And she said, and I'm being on a microphone too, she said. So she was real nervous. I just put my hand on her shoulder. I said, now you're going to be okay in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name. You'll be okay. Just go up there and relax. And so she did it. And I'll tell you, she read so good. It was wonderful. And when she stepped down after 15 minutes, she had this big smile on her face. And I says, it wasn't so bad after all, was it? She says, it was. It was so good. She really enjoyed it. So it's amazing.
It's a blessing. It really is a blessing.
That's right. So let's read here a little bit, 1 Corinthians, thinking about how God doesn't want us to be divided. And we mentioned up front, this was the church event, not a church event. And it would be nice if all the churches would have participated in our county here, and a lot more pastors would have came. But anyway, we had a few come, and so thank God for that. So I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the very first verse. I want to read a few verses here. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, that's all of us, huh? Called to be saints, that's all of us if you're born again, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible letter Paul wrote here. I thank my God always, he says, on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by Him. Hear this? You're enriched by Christ in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed. Listen to this. Was confirmed in you. Now, I love this. Verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes back for all of us. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I like verse 10 here. Now I beseech you, Paul says, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. This is what was the beauty about this Bible marathon. We all read out the same Bible translation. And we should have great understanding of all of this, and there will be no divisions. And so you kind of think about this, and we'll talk about this as we go a little bit further. He says, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And we have a lot of this in the church, different denominations, and they struggle with one another because they have a certain belief or whatever in a certain area. But look what Paul says. What he had to say here is the same thing that we have today with denominations. And we want to break down those walls. And this is what this Bible marathon, to me, is very important. Not only to put the word out over the county and all that, over the airways, but to bring the churches together, to do something together in unity, in agreement, to read the Word of God over our city. Now, what a powerful event it produces when we do that. But look what Paul has to say now in verse 12 of this chapter. He says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? He says. So we have this, you know, so we got to keep this in mind. We do have denominations and all that, but when we get to heaven, there's not going to be all these compartments for the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Charismatics, the Nazarenes, and all these different churches. It's not going to be different compartments. We're all part of the body of Christ. And so we got to forget about the tag of a church name on us, and are all, but we are one in Jesus Christ, in the Lord, that we can learn how to love one another and pray for one another. And despite what they may have beliefs in certain areas, when we can come together in unity, a lot of things will change. And the Bible tells us what? To endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. How? In the bond of peace. And so we have to remember that. And Donna was talking about the Torah a while ago. You know, Paul wrote in one of his epistles, he said that the Torah was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so we follow all those things that God put in place. And the Bible tells us even in the Tanakh and the Torah about how to love one another and all that. And that's what it's all about. So we got to break down all these walls that's holding people back from joining together and all that. And you know, we want to follow after this or follow after that. Let's just follow after Christ.
Amen.
And so here he had the same thing in that day. They were all said, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and so on. And in verse 13, he says, is Christ divided? And the answer to that is no. Was Paul crucified for you? The answer is what? No.
No.
Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
No.
No. Now, he did baptize some. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Caius.
Just two people.
Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Mm. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, because he couldn't remember, because that wasn't his call to be doing that.
That's right. Everyone has a call.
That's right. For Christ sent me not to baptize, listen to this, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, speech, lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? None effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? It is, it's foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is what? The power of God. And we can go on and read all that. Amen? And that's why I wanted to show you this. Now I'm going to go over to chapter 3 with you now. Go over here with me for a moment. And I want to show you something else over here again. Paul continues with this topic about the divisions that were going on in the body of Christ at that particular time. He told us over here in chapter 1, they were all to speak the same thing, and there'd be no divisions among you. That's why it's so key that we stay in the right Bible, and we all speak and think the same thing, okay? And that's why we did this at the Bible Marathon. We all read out of the same book. It's incredible what God did with all that. I know that. Well, now we're going to go to chapter 3. Verse 1 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And we're going to see why here as we look at this. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. You know, they couldn't handle the meat. They barely could handle the milk. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and what? And divisions or your factions, are ye not carnal and walk as men. We have a lot of this today in the church, and see, God wants to destroy that. And this is something wonderful about this Bible Marathon. We all came together and we all read the Word of God. We loved one another, and it was a wonderful time. Amen. Now, verse 4 says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, here we go again, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So we don't want to have any sectarian thought in the church at all, even though we belong to a church and all that, and a denomination, but we don't make that the primary thing. If we do, it's going to cause us to be what? As Paul said, we're going to be a carnal Christian instead of being able to look at the entire body of Christ, and so it's what we have to do. Now, verse 5 says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So I think about myself, Pastor Don. You know, before I got saved, I had people come along and gave me a word about something or dropped a seed into my heart. And a young lady that worked for me for quite a few years as a secretary with me, one year she gave me a Bible and for Christmas. And I remember I said, I'm going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so I started reading it. Being I wasn't born again, I didn't understand a lot of it. And so I laid it down, okay? But the key thing was what she gave me was a seed that went into my heart that later on produced and come out of my life. And so that was one thing that came. My wife put many seeds in me. My wife was on her, she could have died with what she had before I got saved. And the things that she saw on TV, and I got to get glimpses of it when I watched it and all a little bit. Well, those were all seeds that were planted into my heart. And so it says right here, you know, that, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, I'm just going to say this. I'm not trying to say something about myself, but there was a person at the Bible Marathon that pulled me off to the side and said they wanted to be born again. And so I prayed the prayer with him. And I said, no, you've prayed this prayer now. So now understand, now that you're born again, you're born from above and you belong to Christ, and you can walk a new walk. And they were so excited about it, okay? So that's what we have to do. So look what he says.
Now. Be ready to preach the gospel in season and out of season.
And so Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but see, God gave the increase. So all all the seeds that went into me, Pastor Don, and everyone that were born again, those were all seeds have planted in this, but who gave the increase? God is. You got to give God the credit. You know, I've heard people say, well, I saved two people today. No, you didn't save anybody. You just showed them how to get to that place to accept Jesus Christ. We can't save anybody. Only Jesus Christ can save them, but we can give them the word of truth, and they can come into the kingdom of God.
And we may never know how many people we minister to.
That's right.
That's
right. Verse 7 says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, listen to this,
anything?
Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth what? The increase. This
Amen.
Is so important we understand. You know, go on now. Listen to this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one.
That's important right there, Pastor.
That's very. He that plants and he that watereth is one. No matter what denomination we are, let's break down all these walls that hold people
back.
That's
right.
And every man shall receive his own reward, what? According to his own labor.
Mm-hmm.
Now Paul says, for we are laborers together with God. Isn't that true? We labor with him. You are God's husbandry. That means you're a tiller, a husband. Husbandry was what? A farmer, a tiller of the ground. Ye are God's what? Building. So he relates it to a farmer and also to a building. Now listen to this. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise what? Master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Hear this? And now here's the key part about this, because we're talking about the distinction with churches. They all have a different thought, but we've got to get back to Jesus Christ and what he had to say, what the Yeshua the Messiah has to say. No other way. He says, for other, you can say no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Now he says, now if any man build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Why? When we stand before the Lord on the Bema seat one day. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed, wow,
by fire.
We've been talking about fire and being salted with fire.
Every sacrifice will be salted with fire.
That's right. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by what?
Fire.
And then he says, know you not, if you're born again, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So this is very important. We understand this. And so God's wanting to show us, and Paul had the problem that day also, of the divisions that came in the body of Christ. You know, just a few years after Christ died and rose from the grave and all that, you know. And so we see all this in the Word of God, and God wants us to know that he wants to break down all the walls. Now, I just saw this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read part of this. I want to go over to verse 27 with you. It says this, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and he does. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world are things which are despised. Hath God chosen. That's all of us. We have to be humble servants. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should what? Glory in his presence. Now I like verse 30. But of him, this is of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. This is interesting. Is made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Isn't it incredible? That according as it is written, where's this at? Over in the first covenant. He in the Tanakh, he that glorieth, let him glory what? In the Lord. So it's incredible when we think about what the Bible Marathon, I believe, every year produces a little more depth of this, for people can get along and understand and quit being so independent or secular from the rest of the body of Christ. We don't want to do that. We don't want to separate ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're all the body. We need to honor one another. What we're supposed to do. We're supposed to honor one another.
That's right.
One another. And so we hope and pray that as the time goes by and people begin to understand things, that we can become, as Paul said over there, that we can all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among us, and that we might be like-minded, so we speak the same thing, especially with doctrine. Doctrine's so important. The doctrines that Christ has put in place in the Bible is incredible. We talked about, you know, the first covenant was there to be a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Well, he has doctrines that he put in place and showed us the true understanding of what the Father was saying and all that. And so we need to abide with those, and we can't take people's thought, you know, higher criticism, and try to put something else in place of what God has put in place. The doctrine has to stand. That's why it's so important. I just want to mention this. If we go over to Hebrews chapter 6, we just finished this in our church not long ago. We went through a foundational thing about the doctrines of the Bible and all that. And I'm going to read here in chapter 6. Listen to this with me. Paul says, therefore, having the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Well, we know what the doctrine of Christ is. What's that? Well, he's the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father except by him. That's the main one, right? Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. See, that's one thing we need to understand. What is that? That's a doctrine. And the faith toward God, that's a doctrine. Of the doctrine of baptism, that's a doctrine. And not only water baptism, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a doctrine that was put in the Bible, and God didn't give it to us and take it away. It's a doctrine. The doctrine of baptism, you notice, is plural. And of laying on of hands, that's another doctrine. Mm-hmm. And the resurrection of the dead, that's another doctrine. And of eternal judgment. These are just a handful. These are the six key things that we talked in our class when we taught all this about the foundational things. And so we need to understand the things that God wants us to know. And God's in the business of knocking down barriers. I love this. Don't you like that? Amen? I do. Now, I was thinking about something else. You know, Paul wrote the book of Galatians. And we know the purpose of that book was because the Jewish people there were trying to Judaize people and trying to force the Gentiles that came in the body of Christ to do all the things the Jews were doing from the Torah and all that. And he said that they were bringing people under legalism, and Paul was writing this letter to come against that in every way. Amen? Ha. I like what it says in verse 16 of chapter 2 of Galatians. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Hear that? But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And listen to this. And not by the works of the law or the Torah. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the legalism keeping that's not going to give us salvation, isn't it? But why I said all this is this. Hallelujah. I wanted to read verse 19. He says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law. That's a confusing thought when you read this. But if you understand what God's talking about here, it will not be. He said that I might live unto God. Well, so Paul says, for through the law, this means the Torah, okay, am dead to the law, to the legalism of it, okay. And then we go to verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, hear this, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that incredible? And so we have to understand that. And so it's by faith. And so if someone knows Jesus, no matter what church they go to, well, then we have to accept them, and hopefully they're in some kind of error. As we get to know them and all, maybe they can see some things and they can change. That's one thing good about this commentary I got. But I said all this to get down to chapter 3. Now listen to this. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, because they were trying to bring the Gentiles under legalism. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey what? The truth. The truth is the word of God, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Now listen to this. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the Torah? The answer to that is what? Is no. But or by the hearing of faith. It was by the hearing of faith. Now listen to this. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, ye are now made perfect by the flesh. Isn't that interesting? And so the Spirit is so important. So if we're born again, that means, we just read that in 1 Corinthians, what? We're the temple of God. The Spirit dwells in us. And so that ought to break down all the barriers completely. Amen? And it's a shame that it happened in the early church. They had divisions and all that. We know that. But we that claim to know Christ, we need to get off all these things. We need to major on the major things, not major on the minor things that so many denominations do in this day. And you think about it, many denominations were taken and put in place, Pastor Donna, over one scripture that possibly, more likely, were taken out of total context. And so they started a denomination on that because of somebody's belief. So see, it's not what I believe, it's what this book I have before me believes. I want to believe what's in this book. And it's for every one of you that's listening on this radio. Read your Bible. Get in the right translation. Understand what God's trying to tell you. This is an incredible plan and purpose that he has for your life. And it's all revealed in this holy book that we have. And we were so honored to read the entire book again this year, from beginning to end, all the ye's, the thou's, everything. We read every single thing that was in this wonderful book called the Holy Bible. And this is a Holy Bible. And you know, this is a love letter given to us by God. And he's preserved it all these years, hasn't he, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Praise God. This is a powerful chapter, this chapter 3.
Sure is.
Because, you know, as it goes on, it talks about...
Galatians.
In Galatians, it talks about faith. Well, you know, and you just said, you know, are you so foolish? Over here it says, did you receive? the Spirit, this is a capital S, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith.
That's right.
Well, we know from the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the word of God, by the word of God.
That's right.
So he says, and he questions them, are ye, means you all, the King James, ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? So we received our salvation by faith, received it by the Spirit. We receive things by the Spirit.
Amen.
And so what happens? And then it says, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So what happens here? The Spirit draws us, right? And brings us to truth, and we come to the Lord in salvation. And then because we want knowledge, and what does it say about knowledge?
Puffs people up.
Knowledge will puff people up. So people, then they go around looking for things instead of looking in God's word.
Amen.
Or hearing the Spirit of God. See, you didn't, maybe somebody did plant a seed, but like you said before, it's God who draws them. It's
That's
God
right.
who brings them to that place
of salvation.
Oh,
you just plant a seed.
Many people planted seeds in you, but it wasn't until God drew you and the Spirit of God drew you that you gave your life to the Lord completely.
That's right.
Completely. So he says you received it by the Spirit. And now what are we going to do? We're going to try to find out things by the works and make our flesh perfect.
That's right, by the works of the flesh.
It's impossible.
It's a work of the Spirit, isn't it?
It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the work of the Spirit that brings us to Christ by faith. We all have been given a measure of faith.
It brings us to unity, Lord.
And
yes.
It brings us to unity. And then what? You know, here, the Bible talks about how the enemy comes in over there in Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the enemy, the devil, will use people, places, things, whatever, and to try to make us perfect in the flesh, by the flesh. Well, God's not looking at our flesh. Our flesh is
it's flesh.
Flesh. It's corrupt.
That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Our human spirit. And what's born of the flesh is flesh, right?
That's right. So our spirit has been changed, been transformed.
That's right.
And you read back over here, which you didn't read that chapter, verse next to it. It says here over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, you talked about, you stopped at before verse 16.
Right.
Which says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit, here with Spirit of God,
dwelleth in us. That's right.
If any, that's this last scripture you read. So here, this tells us that we are the temple of God, and it's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Amen. And then it goes on, verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.
That's right.
So we can't make ourselves perfect by the flesh.
That's right.
It's only by the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
So it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. So the verse before this said that we were the temple of God. The temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are. So we are a temple. We're
yes,
a temple
we
of God. Each and every one of us. And you know, you talked about ministers. Everyone is some type of a minister.
That's right. We're
because
supposed to be.
Everyone,
yeah, right. That's right.
Definitely should be. Everyone has a testimony.
Amen.
Everyone has a testimony. And we all began, you know, we were in the flesh, but the Spirit of God drew us.
Brought us to
Him.
And
received us. We received the Lord by the Spirit, not by the works of the law or but it's by the hearing of faith.
That's right.
So if we begin in the Spirit, we don't want to all of a sudden get this knowledge and get puffed up, like you said,
right.
And think that we can perfect ourselves by the flesh. Because
we can.
You know what? We will, if we do that, we're gonna fall and we're gonna suffer loss. It says, ye have suffered so many things in vain. See? It is, but if it be yet in vain. He says, so I'm not going to go on to read the rest of it, but it's the hearing, it's faith. Faith drew us, and we were drawn, and the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of God, and we're the temple of God. So we got to continue in the Spirit.
Absolutely.
And see, men's teaching and doctrine would try to, it's because it's all back, goes back to the devil.
Yeah.
Set us up so that we would try to perfect ourselves in the flesh. But if we stay in the Holy Ghost, if we stay in the Spirit, and we press in to the Spirit of God more and more and more, we're gonna walk in the Spirit, and we're gonna order our lives according to God's Spirit.
Amen.
We can't, you know, we can't try to do things, make ourselves perfect.
I've said this many times in our church. Remember, I've said this many times. Christianity is not a self-help ministry. You cannot help yourself. We need Jesus in our life. We can't do it on our own. And we've all had those. I've had those problems. Things you have to overcome. You can't do it in the flesh. You got to ask God to do it, and by the Spirit, He can take care of it. If you'll yield, you know, He'll give it to you. If He can get it through you, if you yield to that, well, then He can help you change in areas that needs to be changed in your life. And it's so important to understand that we need Him more than our next breath, don't we?
And we all know our weaknesses.
Sure,
and
we
all know that our areas we struggle in, and it's only the Spirit of God that's going to help us out, get us out of those places.
That's right.
And change us, because the Word of God is going to change us from day to day. But, you know, we got to get into the Word, just like we did with the Bible reading, and we have to allow the Word of God to bring, it brings conviction.
That's right. It'll That's what the Bible says. That's what the Holy Ghost came for, wasn't it?
To
bring conviction of sin, right?
To our heart.
Yeah.
Even if it's some little thing, well, you think, well, I don't do big sins. Well, you know, the little sins can cause you to have problems.
Sure.
And cause you to have problems with friends or neighbors or church members or family.
That's right.
It's those little foxes that want to destroy the vine. And the vine is, to me, a vine is a picture of a group. So you're not the only one on the vine.
That's right.
You know?
There's a lot of branches on that.
Yeah. A lot of branches.
That's right.
And a lot of fruit.
That's right.
See, if it's a fruitful vine, there's going to be a lot of fruit. And so that fruit is, it's hanging there. It's there together on the vine.
That's right.
And so who gives the nourishment to the vine?
That's right. Jesus does.
Jesus does.
He is. He's the vine. We're the branches. Amen.
Amen. And sometimes things have to be
pruned. Once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, that does. And the Word of God will prune us. Amen. It will prune away some things from us. And we're not going to be suffering loss because, you know, the pruning will bring forth a greater harvest.
I just give you another example that happened in the Bible Marathon with myself and Margie Swaney one night, talking about the pruning. This lady came in. And I thought it was assigned to read, and she had some kind of a Parkinson's disease, or she was shaking. She had this little walker, and she had a fold-up chair laying across it, and she waddled clear across that field, over the sidewalk, and went over and sat down. And I looked up and saw her, and she was almost there, so I went out and I said, are you here to read? Have you signed up to read? She said, oh, no. She said, I just want to listen. I says, you sure? Would you like to read? She said, oh, no, I just want to listen. So she sat out there for a long time. When we got kind of chilly, and she got ready to leave.
She came a couple of times.
Yeah, she came a couple of times.
I think she came almost every day.
Yeah, and so she got up, and I saw her. So then I went out, and Margie came out with me, and we helped her with her little walker and her fold-up chair and got her over the sidewalk, and we walked across the field with her, got her over to her car, and her hand shook so much she couldn't hardly get the key in the car. I was concerned about her driving. And so she got in the car, and she thanked us for helping her, and she started smiling. She says, she just volunteered. She says, I used to be a real angry person. And she says, but I found Jesus. And this big smile came on her face, and I almost started to cry. This big smile. She says, I'm not the same person. She says, I found Jesus. And so it was incredible what she said, you know. So she really got truly born again, and it changed her whole life. And her family, she mentioned something about her family, that they were finally recognizing how she changed. And so I laid hands on her shoulder, and we prayed for her for a safe trip home and all. But just incredible to see her listening. She'd only wanted to come and listen to the Word of God. The Word of God is what's changed her over time. And she says, I went from an angry person to a happy, smiling person. And
she sat there for a long time.
Oh, it was incredible.
Listened to lots of God's Word.
I just love to see what people do, you know.
It's amazing.
So anyway, here she was, struggled, but she made it. She was bound to come, and she drove all the way up from, I think she lived in Hope Sound, I believe. So it's interesting.
And that was a struggle for her to get there.
Sure it was.
And to come back, and even just to walk across that field.
That's right.
That was a real struggle, but that shows how much she really wanted to be there.
And to hear the Word of God.
To hear the Word of God.
That's right. So it's incredible. So the Word of God is what we need, and we have to understand this. And so if we can all get to the one place with God, understanding the Word of God, without all the schisms and all that, and just focus on Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, I think all the barriers can come down and things will change in a great dimension. Amen? Even though we might have different understandings of the Bible and all that, we can still love one another, and we can participate in something together. And that was the beauty of the Bible Marathon, was it's the church.
The church.
The church. It's something for the entire body of Christ. And so the people that came were blessed, and some people came and read, several times, And so it's just wonderful. So this is what we want to talk about a little bit, because Paul had the same thing in his day. All these divisions, you know. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter, whatever. Well, see, it don't matter.
We're of Christ. Jesus Christ.
We're of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have
Him
to look
only.
At. He is the one. He's it. And so that's the prophetic word for today. And it has
Amen.
Been for all these years. And so it's amazing we think about it. And so, and you know, Paul, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. It tells you that in the Bible. And so what he presented to all of us in his letters and all was the Jewishness that he understood from what? From the Torah and the Tanakh. And he presented that. And everything he taught on, what? He had to reveal it from what came from the Torah and the Tanakh to believers today, and to understand what Yeshua was saying to him at that time. And remember, he was a hard-nosed dude also, wasn't he?
Amen.
He fought all the way to come. But he had an experience with Jesus Christ. And so my desire with everybody is, if you don't know the Lord, you're listening on the radio right now with us, just happen to stop on the dial and listen, you know, that you'll have a true experience with Christ. You know, Paul had an experience with Christ. I had an experience with Christ. Pastor Donna had an experience with Christ. All of us have had some kind of an experience, and we overcome what's happened to our lives by the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua, you know, and when the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives unto death. And so we all have this experience. And so God wants you to know that we need an experiential understanding to experience it in our own life. It just can't be some head thought. You know, I tell people all the time, you can go to hell just over 17 inches. Some people have thought in their minds about, they think they know Jesus, but they don't really have a relationship with Him. They just know about Him. But when it drops from your mind 17 inches down to your heart, like it did with me, then your whole life will change in a moment of time. My life
Praise
changed
God.
In one tick, just like that, in a little simple prayer. I never prayed in my whole life. One simple little prayer changed my whole life. And so then we begin to walk with the Lord, and this is what I pray, that people can get together. No matter what denomination you're in, we can love one another. We can talk about the Word of God. We can share those things without any legalism. We don't put legalism on people in any way, shape, or form, because Paul made it clear that the works of the legalism of the law was not going to get them anywhere. It's what I talked about in Galatians over here. And so it's incredible. And so my desire with the Bible Marathon again this year is it's going to bring the body of Christ, with the churches, that the people that came, would bring them closer together with one another. And to know how important each one of us are to God.
That's
and
right.
We have a destiny. We have an expected end that God wants us to get to. And so that we can encourage that, push them on, so they can accomplish what God wants them to have in their life, and to break down all the barriers, the things that maybe has been told to them. You know, the Bible says that no weapon formed against it shall prosper.
Amen.
And every tongue of judgment that's been spoken against, and we can condemn the words, not the people. The people can get over the things that's held them back, and they can go on and become ministers of God. No matter what, you know, you may not be behind a pulpit, but you can be a minister wherever you go.
That's right.
A minister of reconciliation. And so God wants you to fulfill that. And so when we love one another and encourage one another, well, then we'll be able to do that without any walls to hold anything back with us at all. And so that's what God wants. And so He's called all of you that's listening to this program. He's called you to a purpose, to a destiny. He loves you so much, and He wants you to fulfill what He's put you on this earth for. We're not here by chance,
yeah.
Just like Esther wasn't.
You have a destiny. You have a plan.
Sure.
God
right.
has a plan and a purpose for everyone's life.
Sure
and,
does.
And you know, I think about when we first went to Bible school, one of the first things that they, and even when we were ministering with children and we started doing, you know, ministry, you start at the bottom and you work yourself up.
Sure.
Right? God's the one who brings promotion. But we were all told to point to yourself.
That's right.
And to say, I am a minister
of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
So you can do that
I'm
today.
I'm a minister of God.
Amen.
So everyone that's listening, everyone that's born again is a minister. See, you hear the word minister and you think, well, that's the pastor or it's a preacher or somebody behind the pulpit. Well, just think, all of these people were behind a pulpit that read this week at the Bible Reading Marathon. Every one of them was behind a pulpit, whether they were 7 years old or
91.
91. There was a 91-year-old
that's right.
man who read.
It read.
So, Jim.
That's right.
Amen. Jim read. And so, and there could have been somebody older than that. I don't know. But, see, we're all ministers, and that we all have the faith of God. We're all born again. So that makes us all a minister. And it doesn't mean you have to be behind a pulpit.
Sure.
Wherever you go. I mean, that was an experience for some people, like that one lady you said who was afraid, or maybe a child, or maybe somebody who's never really heard their voice
That's
over
right,
a microphone.
Over a microphone, yeah.
That's kind of scary,
yeah.
You know, when you hear your own voice over a microphone.
That's me.
that's me. Yeah. But, you know, but we realize that what all
How
we're doing
is
we're We're saying God's word. We're saying what we know, what God has given us. And you know, the Bible says it. He says if we open our mouth, He will fill up. You know, and we'll bring forth the things of the Spirit. And you never know what you might say to somebody, or a hug, or just a little prayer.
Change their whole life.
It could change their whole life.
That's right.
And even just a hug, a touch, and a smile. You know, we're all ministers of God, and we all are here to share that love of God to a lost and dying world.
I think about Paul and the apostles in his day. Think about all the people they brought into the kingdom of God, to Christ. Now, their names are not all mentioned in the Bible, but they went out. Remember, all those people together turned the world upside down in 30 years with no TV, radio, and all this. And how did they do that? One by one, they brought them into the kingdom of God, and they went out and did the same thing. And so it was a body. It was a body ministry. It's what Paul was talking about over there in 1 Corinthians. They all went out, and they spoke about Christ and brought them into the kingdom of God, and that's how the church grew. So we're all part of that.
We never know how... touch, or how many people we've touched.
That's right.
Well, we're just blessed. It's just a wonderful time. Well, we are blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock. And also, I want to mention Roscoe and Audrey are in town, and they're in
The Walks,
the Temple of God that we talk about a lot on the radio program. And they're in need to take back some steel and some foundational cement and things like that for the building of the Temple of God on Andros Island. So if you'd like to give an offering towards them, we certainly would be glad to be able to help them and get them those things that they need. And so you can just call us, and I'm going to give you the phone number, and you can send us an offering. We'll give you that address if you'd like to do that. It's Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. And the phone number here in Stuart, Florida, if you'd like to know about our services, which Sunday morning we have a church on Sunday morning. And the phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So you can really bless them if you do that. We've already had some people give offerings already for them, because they're going to be here for maybe another week and a half or so. And so we bless them. And so they had a wonderful church over on Andros Island in the Bahamas. They're a sister church with us called the Temple of God. And they're on conch sound. They're blowing a conch. It's like a shofar over there.
You need to take back food. Milk is $8 a gallon.
Can you imagine? $8. Gas is $6 and something a gallon over there. And
terrible.
So we're doing our best to help them. So if you'd like to do that, just send in a check and mark it for the Walks. And we'll make sure they get
that.
Amen. Amen.
They're going to walk on the island.
They're walking the island for God. Amen. They're doing a great work over there. They've been there for quite a while now. So we're running out of time. What do you say, Pastor Don, when we close
Shabbat here? Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
That's right. And so, you know, we're on this program, and we've been on the program now for 17-plus years, and we're on here because we really love people, don't we, Pastor Don?
And raise the standard.
And we want to raise the standard of the body of Christ to know the truth in the Word of God, not watered down in any way, shape, or form, and that you can be encouraged and be brought to a new place with the Lord. And that's what we want to do on this program. So as we release this program today, Father, I just ask you to touch everyone that's listening to this program right now, whether on a computer, on the radio. We ask you to touch them right now in the name above all names, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. And so we thank you, Father God, for the encouragement that you're going to give them as they continue on with you, and they're going to look to you and nothing else. It's all about you. It's not about us. And so we thank you for it. So as we close this program every week, Pastor Don just said what?
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Peace and rest.
And we also say to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen?
Amen.
We are raising a standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy. Standard.